Yeah! NBA Australia! Yeah! That was pretty cool. NBA Australia, episode 14, it's December 7. Holy crap, Thursday, December 7. Speeding along here. Welcome to NBA Australia. It's your daily podcast stop for all things NBA with a dash of Australia. I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Durong Guys NBA podcast. I'm here staring down, what do we got? Like 12 middle-aged Russians standing on a rooftop across from me and Larry Yama Studios here in New York City, New York. And I'm here to take you through daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines, who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. Hint, it's everybody. We're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk, and cover off what the Australian players are up to. And today, I got some fun stuff. What do we got? We've got some segments like That's Not a Knife, That's a Knife. We've got Old Mate, No Mates. We've got our usual Better Than Lonzo Ball. And we've, of course, got Where in the World Is... And today, it's Where in the World Is Cambesto. And because it's Thursday, it's Kiwi Corner. We've got How's Stephen Adams Going, Bro? And we're going to finish up this episode with The Diary of Stephen Adams. So that'll be fun. Isn't that good? Remember, lots of swearing, lots of dumb stuff. Man, it's just how it goes. It's NBA Australia. We're going to wrap all the games from last night's slate, and we're going to preview all of tonight's games Thursday, December 7th. So let's do it. It's NBA Australia. Let's get to it. Oh, yeah. How good is it for a Thursday morning to be rocking out and just doing stuff? NBA Australia, we start off every episode with the daily whip around. We catch up on all things NBA. Steve Clifford away from the team with health issues. It's a bit of a bummer. Charlotte, we're actually looking pretty good as well. So that's just a bit shit for Steve Clifford. A bit shit for Charlotte fans. Speaking of health issues, Devin Booker went down Tuesday night. That's a massive bummer. They looked fine. He has an adductor injury and looks like he'll be out for 2 to 3 weeks, which is pretty shit considering he was starting to fire up fucking hardcore there. Weird for the Suns. They had 9 wins already, which is more than the Clippers, Lakers, and the Grizzlies. Holy crap. But now they've... without Booker, that means we've got a whole mess of TJ Warren, and that's not going to be good for, like, anybody, especially Jay Triano, Phoenix coach. It'd be really nice if Josh Jackson, their draft pick, number 4 pick overall from last year, actually put his hand up and did something. How's not working out for the Celtics going for Josh Jackson? Just quickly. 21.5 minutes per game, 9.2 points, 3.5 rebounds on an absolute shit show of a Suns roster, whereas... a man we're going to be talking about at length later on happens to be on the best team in the NBA who went one pick before you. Don't know, Josh, don't know. Still, Marquise, Chris, Dragon Bender, Alex Len, Josh Jackson. Jesus, man. It's going to be tough for the Suns without Booker. Speaking of health issues, good news, everybody. Tristan Thompson and Isaiah Thomas, the little guy, are doing 4-on-4 work, which is nice. It's pretty good. All right, let's get into the wrap of last night's games. It was a fun Wednesday night. Kings go to Cavs and nearly win this. This game promised to be more boring than a Lumineers record, but the Kings had the lead in the fourth until Kyle Korver hit. Back-to-back threes to give the Cavs the lead and sort of, you know, put it back in their favor. So it was only as boring as a Foo Fighters record. I mean, that was until the very end. LeBron basically had a dagger three with 20 seconds left. He scored 20 points in the second half. Kyle Korver was straight on fire. Kevin Love had 18 and 13. And the Cavs win it 101-95. That's 13 straight for the Cavs. Hey, just a reminder for next year. This is why we don't get all, oh, the Cavs are going to be bad. Oh my God, what can we do? Whatever will we do about the Cavaliers? Bulls, they go into the Pacers and shit the bed. Oh, Jesus. They shit the bed harder than one of my buddies Drabs' kids. They're up 96-92 at like 80 different points, I think, in this game. So they're up 96-92 with 2 minutes 20 to go, and then got the ball back twice after an offensive rebound and a turnover. So 1:30 to go. They're still up 4. And then just nothing. But you know who comes through in the clutch? Victor Oladipo comes up massive, grabs a steal with 30 seconds left, hits a 3, then hits another free throw. He missed one though, so had to do push-ups during the end of game interview. Nice one. He had 27. The Suvaki King, Domantas Sabonis, had 6 and 5 for the Bulls. Chris Dunn actually looks okay. That's nice for the Bulls, isn't it? They need something nice. He had 18, 6 and 6. Denzel Valentine was good too, 15, 8 and 3. Meanwhile, their rookie, Lauri, that's a girl named Markkanen, got blocked right at the end of the game by Miles Turner to kill them all with a minute to go. So it was a tough one for the Rook. Best stat of the game, however, in 25 games as an Indiana Pacer, Victor Oladipo already has as many made go-ahead shots as Paul George did in his last 4 seasons. That's 2 of 2 versus 2 of 14. Give the man a Gatorade commercial. All right, 106 to 110 is the Hawks Magic in overtime. Apparently, this is a game that happened. I'm not sure if anyone watched it. Aaron Gordon, though, had 24 and 15. Vooch had 22 and 16. Fournier came away hurt with a sprained ankle, but had 27 points. Meanwhile, for the Hawks, Schroeder had 26 points on 26 shots. Jesus. Still, Atlanta are tanking the right way. We're going to talk about that at length in a little bit. Taurean Red Bull Prince had 19 points on 8 shots. Unreal. Still was minus 13 for the game. Hey, here's a question. Is Kent Bazemore the second worst contract in the NBA at the moment behind Joakim Noah? 11 points a game. He had 4 points last time and 1 of 9 shooting. Jesus. How's that 4 years, $70 million tasting, Atlanta? Anyway, Magic get the win. They kind of needed that too, considering, you know, they were the hottest team in the league and then have literally just fallen off a cliff. Literally, I'm pretty sure I saw, like, DJ Augustine fall off a cliff. Then now at, like, 11 and 15 and, ugh, gross. Mavs go to Boston and lose 97-90. It was actually really 97-87, but the Mavs hit a 3 at the very end buzzer. Kyrie was out there wheeling and dealing. He had 23 on 18 shots. Just looked good. The Master Avenger, Tatum. We're going to talk about him at length a little bit later. Horford had 17, 8, and 8. No Jaylen Brown. He's got a bung eye. And Marcus Morris had a bung left knee. Still, no problems for the Celtics. Cavs, well, the Mavs tied this at 85 with like 2.5 minutes to go, but were just, they then realized that they were the Mavs. And the Celtics reeled off 8 straight. It was all over. Dennis Smith Jr. went at Kyrie. He literally caught him a bitch ass, literally behind his back. He was standing behind him when he did. Nell, he didn't show up in this game. Literally didn't play. Has a torn ligament in his thumb, which I can only assume is from opening packs of hot dogs, because it certainly isn't from playing basketball. Celtics go to 22-4, first team to 22 wins. Nice one, Boston. Grizzlies go to New York and get their ass beat, 99-88. Zinger was back. Nice one. Courtney Lee, 24 points. Chris Stapps at 18. Jarrett Jack had 10 assists. The corpse of Jarrett Jack. Actually, it wasn't too bad on you, Jarrett. The King of New York, Michael Beasley, though, had 14 off the bench. And on the Grizz side, which was just a shit show, Gasol had 17 and 8. Tyreek Evans had 15, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Good on you, Tyreek. That's a very Tyreek stat line, isn't it? Still, Grizz just couldn't really get any traction against the Knicks in this game at all. Just they'd turn around and Cantor would be getting like another fucking rebound and Zinger would be bearing another dagger in them. How about in Charlotte? Warriors 101 beat Charlotte 87. No Steph, no problems. The coward Kevin Durant had 35 points, 11 boards, and 10 dimes. That's a triple-double. He's all like, I'm just as good as Russ. Look at me. Kemba Walker came back at 24-5-4. I'm loving good Kemba. It's good. Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook both got starts in this because Kerr brought Iggy and Livingston off the bench instead of starting them in place of Steph. Pretty bonkers. Jordan Bell. Fuck you, Chicago. I can't believe you sold that draft pick. Pistons go to Milwaukee and just lose. 104 to 100. Bucks look very good, but so do the Pistons. Really good. Thing is, for the Pistons, that's 4 straight losses. They're 14 and 10, and Milwaukee just behind them now, 13 and 10.
So the middle of the East is bunching up basically behind the Celtics, Cavs, and Raps, where you have, what is it, like six teams basically on between 10 or 12 losses. We have the Pistons, Sixers, Bucks, Pacers, Wiz, and Knicks. And then you could even throw the Heat in there. They're at 11-13, but I don't know. I just don't trust the Heat. Great moment in this game. Reggie Jackson shot an air ball that went directly to Andre Drummond for a lay-in. Wasn't in offensive interference because it was that bad of an air ball. Unbelievable. Pistons got all the way back in this, like to a point, two-point game with 40 seconds left, and then it was a free throw shooting contest down the stretch. Bledsoe, though, basically to get them the four-point advantage to make it that sort of, you know, foul-worthy territory for the Pistons, just bodied his way in the paint, got a badass too. It was pretty good. Giannis had 25, Bledsoe like 22. Drummond had just a fucking crazy stat line of 27 points, 20 rebounds, 6 assists. Drummond the first to do it, first Piston to do it, do that. 27, 20, and 6 since Bob Lanier in 1977. Fuck me. Oh, speaking of big stat lines though, Nuggets 114 at Pelicans 123. Nuggets lose in New Orleans because of Boogie! 40 and 20, fucking 2, Boogie. Jesus. Pelicans stepped on the gas in the fourth and smoked the Nugs at a 20-8 run at one point in the fourth. Unbelievable. Drew had 27-7 as well. Gary Harris and Manny Moutier did work for the Nugs. They had 24 and 17 each. Snore for the last 10 minutes, though. Nugs just gave up. No Millsap, no Jokic, no real surprise. Miami go into the Spurs for an NBA Finals rematch. 4 years ago. Feels like a lifetime, doesn't it? 105 to 117. Spurs just put the fucking chokehold on the Heat there. Dion Waiters, though, is like, I ain't going down without a fight. I am Dion motherfucking Waiters. 22 points on 12 shots. 4 of 6 from 3. And a very great pop reaction every time Dion hit a shot. Basically, the old head in hands. And T-Wolves go to Clips. We'll also say for the Spurs, they had 8 players in double figures. The Heat had 3. That's fucking unreal. Manu almost looked like he hurt himself as well. But turns out he's all right. Tyler Johnson had 25 off the bench for the Heat. Good job. T-Wolves at Clips. Tibbs versus Docs. It's amazing that Jamal Crawford's still in the league. T-Wolves win this one. No real problems, I'd say. I mean, Cat basically saved them, but I don't know. It was the Clips. They end up losing like 113 to 107, but Cat, I mean, he had 21 and 12. DeAndre had 18 and 21. It was pretty great. Cat had a great block and was pretty damn good down in crunch time defensively. It was weird. Clips just got all the way down to 3, and then the Wolves went on 8, no run. So it was weird. Strange game. Weird to see Butler. Taj Gibson hit a great 3 at the halftime buzzer. It was all pretty funny, pretty fun. There you go. That is the entire 10-game slate for Wednesday that we've just done the old whip around on. So let's move straight on into the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
Knife. That's a knife.
Boogie! Holy shit. What a performance. 40 and 22 against the Nugs. Great stat to come out of this. Multiple 40-point, 20-rebound games in one season. This last happened 35 years ago with Patrick fucking... Oh, sorry. It's the last 35 years. The only other guy to do this since then was Patrick Ewing in 1989-90. Patrick Ewing had 2. Boogie's already done that in so far this season, which is bonkers because they've only played 24 games. Boogie, amazing. Not only that, though, he also had 4 blocks, 4 assists, and 2 made threes in there. So a little bit of versatility for the old Boogie. Only one player in history has ever had a 40 and 20 night with at least 2 threes, 4 assists, and at least 2 blocks. That was Larry Bird in 1987. Boogie had fucking 4 blocks. And for that, Boogie, you get the knife.
Knife.
All right, pummeling through. Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today for NBA Australia? That is LeVar Ball for pulling LiAngelo out of UCLA. We're going to talk about this at length, and yeah, nah. But today, LeVar, your old mate, no mates, because you're shit. Speaking of which, let's go to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He coming for everybody.
God damn. He wishes he was average, huh? Really, really wishes. Instead, Lonzo isn't average and he's well below, but, you know, he's a rookie on a bad team. Come on, we're fine. Speaking of rookies on good teams, who was better than Lonzo Ball today? It wasn't De'Aaron Fox. He had 6-2-1 against the Cavs, but it was the man who went directly after him in the 2017 NBA draft. Jason Tatum. And it's not because I like guys who put extraneous Y's in their names beginning with J. Hint. He had 17 and 10 with a steal. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. Went 5 of 11 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. But for the season, he's at 14 points, 5.3 rebounds, which is not fucking bad. Sixth best rookie scorer behind Ben Simmons, Donovan fucking Mitchell, the Coos, Dennis Smith Jr., Lowry, that's a girl named Markkanen. And he's also sixth in rebounds behind Simmons, Lowry, that's a girl named Markkanen. Tall drink of water, John Collins. The aforementioned Lonzo Ball and the Coos. The thing is, Jason Tatum is just terrifyingly fucking efficient. He is toting a 51.1% field goal percentage while shooting. An NBA league-leading 51.3% from three. He's got the Joe Ingles disease. He's shooting better from three than the field. Thing is, he's shooting 51% from the fucking field. Holy shit. He shot 11 of 16 from three over his last five games. He could miss his mixed 21 three-point attempts and still be shooting over 40% from behind the arc for the season. The best stat. He would have to miss. Jason Tatum would have to miss his next 84 straight threes to have the same three-point percentage as Lonzo Ball. Today, Jason Tatum, you're better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. All right, coming up next, we've got Yeah Nah, the Daily Yeah Nah. Stick around. Oh, yeah. Yeah Nah. You ready? It's Yeah Nah. Three Yeah Nahs. We have three NBA storylines and they get a Yeah Nah. We figure it was more yeah or more nah. Let's go. First one. Donovan Mitchell is playing his way into the rookie of the year convo with Ben Simmons. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of fucking course. All I do is yell about how good Donovan fucking Mitchell is. And dude is averaging 26 points over his last five games. He's fucking smashing it. Of course he's in the rookie of the year convo. Much more of a conversation than we all thought, like basically 3 weeks ago. So Jason Tatum's also up there. God damn, it's a good rookie crop. Next, yeah, now Chicago are 3-20, Atlanta are 5-19, and are tanking better than anyone over the last 5 years. Yeah, nah, yeah, they really fucking are. They're playing hard, they're being kind of interesting, they're giving fans, like, not a complete shit show to watch. They've been in, like, I think a combined, like, 8 exceptionally close games that they have lost. That's very smart tanking. It's like, oh, this is exciting. Ah, we still lost. Doesn't matter. It's all right. Well, get a fucking high draft pick. Got a lockdown number 1 and 2 in the last year that you get the best odds. So fucking do it. Another entry. Last year, the Lakers went 10-10 to start off the year and then collapsed. But their fans secretly believe they were 10-10 worthy the entire year, not 26-56. So they came into this year going, oh, no, no, no. We're basically a 10-10 team. We're basically 500. We're going to be fucking awesome. So that's some good tanking because they ended up with the number 2 pick last year. It was never the Sixers' hopelessness just always sucked. There was the Orlando just met-worthy mediocre-ness that they could never get over. This is some championship-level tanking. The T-Wolves and Knicks in the Cats' zinger year were pretty okay just because they were fucking weird and bumbling, but they were just bad teams as well, right? And I don't know. The only way to more effectively tank than Chicago and Atlanta are at the moment is to hire Tyrone Corbin, tank expert. All right, last year, nah. Now, we mentioned this at the top. This one. LaVar Ball is an insane person for pulling his kid out of UCLA. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of fucking course he is. What shit is going on here? What the shit is this kid going to do now? That's a full four-year scholarship that's worth about $250,000 that could have gone to someone else deserving without a fuckheaded dad who makes a whole bunch of shit all about him rather than about, you know, actually just getting a fucking education, maybe? I don't know. Look, we get it. LiAngelo wasn't going to get drafted this year, but you know what? You don't have to go one and done to make it into the NBA. He can just keep working. He could have just kept working on his game there. Now, all he's done is just steal not just a pair of fucking sunglasses, but also his fucking scholarship from some other kid. So, as Woj tweeted out, it's like that no GMs basically had LiAngelo on any of their scouting list, even the extended ones. I just don't know. It's like, why would you let your dad basically tell you where and when you can't go to uni? All I want is like LiAngelo to go, Dad, would you get the fuck out of here? I mean, guess what, LiAngelo? You're going to have fun playing for the Brisbane Bullets because you can't go back to fucking China and you're not going to last in fucking Europe. I'll tell you that. All right, we're going to keep talking about this in just a second because we've got the... Look at me, look at me. The unpopular opinion of the day. I think LiAngelo Ball would be awesome for the Melbourne Tigers in like 2 years. But not really. I mean, you could become a long-time Dave Simmons type if you want, LiAngelo. But nah, what you should have done is told your dad to fuck off and just done your own thing. What you should have done, instead of going out with your dad to face the media, is just come out, be repentant. Because you know what? You broke the fucking law, you moron. And all that happened was that you were suspended from playing basketball at your fucking university instead of, like, rotting in a Chinese prison. So maybe just, like, be quiet for a second and go do your fucking uni course. Remember, P's make degrees, bud. You can come out of this with a nice sports management degree and become your brother's agent after you and he both eventually fall out with your fucking moron dad. All right. That was a good one, I guess. Let's get over to the Australian Player Watch because we basically have to. Let's punch it through. NBA Australia. Getting fucking angry today. Let's go. Oh, yeah. The NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. Let's whip around and see how all of the Australian players are doing and what they got up to last night, what they're doing tonight. Ah, it's another whip. Ben Simmons plays the Lakers tonight, Thursday. That's going to be a cracker of a game. He'll be playing against Andrew Bogut. Another Australian player. There you go. Patty Mills last night played the Heat. He had 13 points, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds. Shot 5-11 from the floor, 3-6 from 3. He looked real fucking comfortable back in his old role, coming off the bench with Parker back in the starting lineup. He gets to play his natural game. He doesn't have to worry about DeJounte Murray being the starter and having like this sort of extra pressure of being the old point guard. So good job, Patty. Out there smashing, mate. Joe Ingles plays the Rockets tonight, Thursday night. Matthew Dellavedova. Yeah, Dally hasn't played since November 15. Hashtag free Dally. Thon McCur played the Pistons. 23 minutes, no shots made for the Bucks. This was a tough one for Thon. Went 0-2 with 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 turnovers and 4 fouls. Fucking hell. Still, he was out there in the fourth in crunch time and was a plus 5 for the game. So, the Daily Thon question, did he make his first 3 since November 7? No, because he did not attempt one, and nor did he make a shot. Brutal. Aaron Baines. Celtics played the Mavs. Baines didn't have to do a massive amount last night. He played not much. Didn't do much. What are you going to do? It's the Baines special, I guess. I mean, sure. What did he have? He had 10 minutes. Just, yeah, 10 minutes of floor time. 2 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and 1 of 4 shooting. Thing is, Celtics now 14-1 with Baines in the starting lineup. Nice one. And as mentioned, Boga plays against the Simmons at Sixers tonight. And how about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Yeah. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie at 23-5-2. That's pretty good. On you, Kyrie. So that means it's Thursday. So instead of just doing all the Australian players, we have Kiwi Corner. How's Stephen Adams doing, bro? In his last 3 games, he's gone mental, bro. 27-6 against Minnesota, 19-10 against San Antonio, 20-9 against Utah. That means he's averaging basically 25 and 10 these last three games. Better yet, he's shot 87% from the floor. He's 28 of 34 in those games. Unbelievable. So he's come alive, not coincidentally, so of the Thunder. They've won all three of those games. For the year, Steven Adams, bro, is at 13.5 points a game, 8.2 rebounds, 0.8 of an assist. Jesus. And 1.1 blocks. Nice. It's also Thursday, so what do? We play Where in the World Is... And today we have Cameron Bairstow, Australian player, 49th pick in the 2014 draft. You might remember Cam Bairstow as being the stringy little white guy who had a cup of coffee for 36 games over 2 years with the Bulls at the end of the Derrick Rose era. He wrote a very nice piece about his time there for the playersvoice.com.au, so check it out. Where is he now? Well, he hurt his shoulder at the Rio Olympics after his last year with the Bulls, recuperated, eventually signed with the Brisbane Bullets like his hero, Derek Rucker. Unfortunately, proceeded to tear his ACL at the start of the season. Damn it. Hope your recovery goes well there, Cam. We're tipping out all our headbands in your direction. On you, Cam Bairstow. That was a good one. All right, coming up next, we do the Patty Mills Inspiration Board, and we're going to do all of our game previews. It's coming up in just a second. All right, NBA Australia smashing through. Let's get to the Patty Mills Inspiration Board for today. It was pretty inspiring last night just because he was fucking a badass. That was awesome. Watching him is just a sort of constant delight. Patty Mills Inspiration Board for today. It was game day baller, game day, hashtag versus Miami, hashtag go Spurs go. It's basically the same as yesterday. Let's get to the game previews. Going to check out every game on the NBA slate for tonight, Thursday, December 7th. We've got four games tonight. We've got the Thunder at Nets in Mexico City. Hey, this is going to be fun, but shouts to the fucking Nets ticket people for trying to get all their season ticket holders to pay for 41 home games when two of their biggest ticket games were in actually Mexico City. So, fuck you. Last time I checked, Brooklyn wasn't in Mexico City. I mean, I was there with Mexico, well, in Mexico City with Brooklyn guys earlier this year, and I'm sure people named Brooklyn have been there, but still, fuck you, Nets ticket agent dickheads. Jesus Christ. It's like, no. Here, have the same amount of ticket money in, like, shitty hot dogs and crap arena food. Fucking morons. Give me the Thunder in that one. The Nets, we'll try to run them off the court, but I think the Thunder are probably a little bit better and might just get on a little bit of a roll. Lakers at 76ers. This is amazing. A battle of two Rookie of the Year candidates, right? Yes, Ben Simmons and Kyle Kuzma. Sorry, had to do that one. I wonder if Bogut sees the floor in this one. I don't know, but this is great. This is really fun. Lonzo Ball versus Ben Simmons. The Kuz out there, Embiid out there smashing. That'll be fun as hell. Give me the Sixers in that. Wiz at Suns. No John Wall, no Devin Booker. Oh, Jesus. I think the Suns fall off the rails a little bit here, so the Wiz are going to kill them. Rockets at Jazz. Now, this is a fucking tasty-ass matchup tonight. Surprisingly badass matchup. My grown-ass son, Donovan fucking Mitchell, against the Beard and CP3. We've got Gobert versus mini-shit Swiss, not French Gobert, in Clint Capella. Jingling Joe is going to have his work cut out for him tonight against all those against those Rockets wings with PJ Tucker, Luke Mbaramute, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson even. Jingling Joe will have to probably cover. I think the Rockets win this. I think they're just too good. All right. And there you go. That's it for today. NBA Australia knocked it out of the fucking park. So let's kick it. All right. That's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow for more ridiculous. Remember, this is daily. It's, you know, hey, it's not my fault. Tomorrow we've got our Luke Longley Memorial Dude on a Contender. We've got the weekend preview where we wrap up every single game coming for this weekend, which is just absolutely fucking bonkers. And we'll have Everybody Loves Bainesy as well. But today we're going to finish up with the Diary of Steven Adams. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all the good stuff. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Check us a review and rating while you're at it. Come on. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro. Check out House Hats, the best band in Australia at the moment. That's their new band. And an extra special thanks to Green Green Green, the Ramshackle Army, and Fascinated for their tunes that you heard throughout the episode. Go check them all out on Bandcamp. Pretty good, huh? All right, let's stick around for the Diary of Stephen Adams, bro, and we'll catch you all tomorrow. This has been NBA Australia. We'll see you tomorrow. Later, Hosen. Okay, Bruce. How's it all going, eh? It's Stephen Adams here. Just with another diary entry, Bruce. I believe it gives you some sort of insight into my time here in Oklahoma. But I'm not here to tell you what to do, so you can use it how you like, eh? Okay, let's get to it. Dear Diary, it's me, Stephen. How's it going, eh? I'm doing pretty well. I've had a good run. Scored some points, grabbed some rebounds. It stopped that little fella Russell from yelling at me, eh? That's also a bit better when we're playing well. There's not as much yelling from Russell. And those new fellas, Paul and Carmelo, they don't say much though, eh? I don't know if they're afraid of Russell or not. Still, I've tried to make them feel at home. I gave them both a pavlova, but they looked at me all weird, so I had the pavlovas myself. But still, I really miss New Zealand. And me mum, and me 46 brothers and sisters, eh? I remember when we'd all hung out for a hungy, eh, Bruce? There'd be about 140 of us. We'd all play rugby, and Russell, and eat pavlova. In Oklahoma, it's just me and Nick Collison, eh? And he's pretty boring, really. He doesn't even know how to play rugby, bro. Or even eat pavlova. Still, I love it here. Especially when we win games and Russell doesn't fully yell at everybody. It's much nicer than when we lose and he beats Alex Sabrinas pretty much half to death, eh? Anyway, we've got a big trip to Mexico City tonight. That'll be fun. I might drink some tequila and go see some Lucha Libre. That'll be fun. Okay, Diary. I'll write again next week. Toodaloo, your friend, Stephen Adams.